Thank the Lord tonight for salvation. We're glad to be here. Never been here before. And I'm going to do something tonight that I don't normally do. Really, I've probably never done it. I'm Carl Schaefer. I reside in the town of Meeker, Oklahoma, which is north of Shawnee, which is east of Oklahoma City, about 35 to 40 miles. And got saved in 1971 in my parents' home, my bedroom there in their home. 1975, this summer, I was in Black Ford, Kentucky. Now, I'm saying this for a reason, so don't get too bored at me. Got sanctified in that meeting in Black Ford, Kentucky, 1975. Started preaching a little while after that. And I want to say that I love the state of Kentucky. I've enjoyed working here. I've worked here quite a bit down through the years, especially the first 7 years of my full-time ministry from about 80 to 87. Spent a lot of time in Kentucky. Spent a lot of time crisscrossing Kentucky and working in meetings in different places. And so I want you to know that you have a beautiful state. And I love the state of Kentucky. Love it around here. And I appreciate all that the Lord has done for us down through the years. He's been mighty good to us, and I appreciate that. Now then, Brother Marty's prayer, exhortation, or whatever you want to call it, will go with what I've got tonight. I've had this on my mind for probably close to a month, carrying this burden. We can't get rid of it. And this will be a little bit different than what I've had, so to speak. I'm going to attempt to do something tonight I've never done. So we desire your prayers that the Lord will have mercy and help us out. Somebody give me some water. Give me a bottle of water or whatever. All right, thank you, Brother John. These meetings are held to the glory of God. They're held for the benefit of souls. We don't travel hundreds and thousands of miles as saints and ministers to just come here in idle playtime. We're here for a reason. We have a burden. We're interested in souls. We want to see people get help. We want to see people get saved, sanctified, satisfied, blessed. And tonight, that's why we're here. Now then, I don't know what the finest restaurant you've ever eaten in is, but there's restaurants through the nation that they like you to make a reservation. And you know why they want you to make that reservation? One reason is, as I was told here a while back on my birthday, the 1st of February, I said, well, do I have to make a reservation? And she said, well, no. But she said, if you do, we'll have everything ready for you. I thought about that. I said, that sounds pretty good. So I said, all right, reserve it for my daughter and myself. And so we went there. This is a restaurant, the 48th floor of the Devon Tower in Oklahoma City. Never eaten there. And they have a lunch buffet at a reasonable enough price that we could afford to eat there. And so they had this table reserved and went in. And I said, I'm Carl Schaefer, and got a reservation. And a young man, he led us back to our table, and they had everything set and everything fixed up. And then he started asking questions. You know, what would you like to drink? Of course, this is a buffet. We told him we wanted the buffet, but he said, what would you like to drink? And we told him. Tonight, saints, you and I live off of the blessings of God. Amen. We live off the blessings of God. Blessed means to make happy or joyous, to confer property of happiness upon, to grant divine favor to confer a blessing upon. Blessed means enjoying happiness or bliss, favored with blessings, happy, highly favored. Blessed also means enjoying spiritual happiness and the favor of God, enjoying heavenly felicity. Now tonight, Jesus Christ has made a reservation for you, and it's right here in Tullersville, Kentucky. He has a reservation set, and you're here tonight because of that. But I want to ask you tonight, why did you come to this service? Or to this meeting, why did you come? Be saved? Be sanctified? Be healed? You want to feel the presence of Christ? You want to learn more of the Word of God? You want to get wisdom? You want to be stirred? You want to be convicted? You want to have encouragement? You want fellowship with the saints? You want to fear God more? Maybe you need some chastisement, toes stepped on, be reproved by God. There's a lot of blessings out there. Listen, folks, tonight you and I need the blessings of God. We've got to have the blessings of God. You and I are not going to be able to survive without the blessings of God. Now, there's a song said, I want that kind of blessing. And the Lord tonight said, what do you want? When you go in that restaurant and He said, what do you want to drink? Well, I want a cup of water or want a soda pop or want iced tea or whatever. The Lord tonight is saying, what do you want? And we're going to hit a scripture, and the scripture's on down in there a little bit, that He asked them, said, well, you know, what do you want me to do? Am I able to do this? What would you like me to do for you? Listen tonight, the Lord wants to bless you. He wants to bless you right here in this meeting. He wants to bless you tonight. He don't want you to go home empty-handed. But He wants you to desire something. He wants you to want something. He wants you to reach out to Him and say, Lord, I need this. I want this. I see my position. We're coming into this meeting. And we need God, folks. We need Him every day. We need the blessings every second of every day. If He pulled back the blessings of life for you and I, we'd drop dead. We'd be just like Sister Dina almost was. We would be gone out into eternity. So we've got to have the blessings of God tonight. Let's go to Psalms 133 and 1, please. Psalms 133. We desire your prayers. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head, ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Tonight the Lord commands the blessing. He is the one that sends them. And you and I can bless one another. We can help one another. We can do things for one another. You can say, well, old brother so-and-so blessed me, or my husband done something for me, or my wife done something, or the children done something, or dad or mom done something. They blessed me. They done good things for me. But there's something you and I can't do for one another. We can't do internally. We can't do spiritually what God can do. He's the only one that can touch that soul. He's the only one that can inspire and fire, save, sanctify, satisfy, and bless. He's the only one that's got the power to do that. He's the commander-in-chief of your blessings tonight. And He wants to bless you. He wants to fire you up. He wants to get you going, praise God. Sometimes I think we're a little bit too dry, a little bit too this and that. But the bottom line tonight, God is a commander of your blessing, and He wants you to want. He wants you to desire. He's interested in you doing something to get a deep blessing in this meeting. If you got to pray all night, He wants you to do it. Praise God. He's a commander in chief of your blessing. There the Lord commanded the blessing. Praise God. Do you not like the blessings of God? Sure you do. Everybody likes to be blessed by God. Everybody likes blessings, period. But I like this here. It said, enjoying the spiritual happiness and the favor of God, enjoying heavenly felicity. Listen tonight, we can enjoy the glory of God. We can have that glory. Glory is a divine close presence of God. You can have it in such a way you can't hardly contain yourself. You can almost explode. I know. I've been there. I've had it. Been so blessed. My wife, I was shouting and crying in the living room of Brother Mark Salmon's home in 1987. I was beside myself, and Rebecca got up out of the kitchen, and she walked in there, and she goes, are you all right? I said, I'm fine. I said, the glory of God just passed by. And praise God, when He got close enough, I knew it. I knew He was there. I knew the blessings. I knew the power. Listen, folks, it's not the only time you and I can have these blessings. We can have greater blessings. I want that kind of blessing. What Paul and Silas had in the jail, the song said, and different things. I want that. I want that. I want that kind of blessing, the song says. Tonight, what kind of blessing do you want? What are you interested in? Why did you come here? What are you needing in your soul tonight? Some people want to keep putting it off, like what's preached this morning. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to consider it. But listen, folks, death can come very quickly, and eternity will be right there. You won't get away from it. As I've said, Brother Marty said this morning, at the end of every man's life is God. We're going to have to deal with God, folks. We cannot put it off forever. You are going to step out in God's eternity. And when you get there, He's there. You can hide here. You can run here. You can do anything you want here. But when you get there, you're dealing with Him. It's His eternity. It's His time. It's His power. It's His glory. And you're going to kneel. You're going to confess. You're going to deal with Him straight on. So the best thing to do is deal with it here. Are we dealing with it here? Are we thinking about it here? Listen, folks, we don't know how long that we have. We don't know what's going to happen to us next. You don't know whether you'll be dead or alive by midnight or in the morning. I don't either. There was a man on the plane that I flew down. I didn't fly it down, but I flew on it. Man telling me about his nephew and the nephew's mother. They had got along great down through the years. And they got in a fight. And they got in a bad fight. And they said things they wish they'd never said. And she left and stomped off. He went his way, she went hers. The next day in the afternoon, she was dead. She died so quick, it left everybody in a state of shock. He is having to deal with that guilt. He is having to deal with it. And he said if he don't pull himself together, he's going to lose his wife and his whole family. I said he needs counseling. He needs help. Yes, he does. He needs God. He needs the everlasting blesser to everlasting help him to get where he needs to be. And that's a touch of the comfort and the power and the glory of God. That's what he needs tonight. Let's go to Mark, the 11th chapter. Mark the 11th chapter, about the 20th verse here. Mark 11 and 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any. For your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Now, in Romans 10 and 10, let's just turn there. I was going to quote most of it, but I want to read it. 10 and 10 of Romans. Well, this is not the place I want. Yeah, it is. I've got it written. Okay. Oh, 10 and 16 of Romans. I knew something was wrong. But they have not all believed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, he said, have faith in God. The way you're going to get a lot of blessings from God is have faith. You're going to have some real faith. You may hit some dry spells sometimes. You may have some times that maybe things are not just overly gushing, so to speak. And you're living strictly by faith. You're not living by feelings. You're living by faith. You're just going on by faith. Feelings go up and down. Faith goes straight through. So you're living by faith. And he says here, he said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen tonight. Have faith in God. You and I, what we need to do is, when you come to meeting and you listen to the Word of God, you hear it preached, people come in and they're unsaved and they're listening to the message and they know they need help. And the minister preaches on this line, then he preaches on that line. And the person begins to listen, begins to get involved in his mind in the Word of God. And he comes to the place that I believe I can get some help. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. He has heard that God can deliver him. He has heard the Lord wants to bless him. He has heard that Jesus has all power in heaven and earth. He loves him. He wants to do something for him. And this man's faith begins to rise and grasp a hold of something that he never saw before. He sees Jesus as the great I Am that can deliver him. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You and I need to be in meeting regularly. You know why? To have our faith inspired. Be challenged. Be stirred. Some people say, well, I can just do what I want to, except forsake not the assembling of thyself together. There's a reason, because God is here. His presence is here. Well, I'll stay home and watch Him on TV. I'll listen to that preacher here and I'll listen to that one. Listen, folks, you need to be where the presence is. You need to be where the power and the glory is. If you're going to get the real deep blessings, the real powerful blessing, you've got to be where He's at. Faith cometh by hearing. Tonight, how much faith do you have? Do you need to have your faith stirred in this meeting? He told him, said, have faith in God. If you'll have faith in God, you can say, not only to this fig tree, but you can say that whatsoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Now, your fig tree represents small battles, trials, and sufferings, and so forth. But your mountains is your major trials, your major sufferings, your major affliction, things that you can't get over real easy, things that you've got to pray through, maybe pray all night. Jesus was on the mountain, and He prayed all night one time. Maybe done it more than once. So tonight, you and I are going to have faith, real faith, to be able to get the blessings that we want. But I guarantee you they're there. You have the faith in God. You reach up to God. You reach out to God. And I'm going to tell you, He's going to bless you. He's going to bless you, praise God. All right, let's go to Psalm 65. Psalm 65 and 4. 65 and 4 of the good book of Psalms. Bless the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Blessed is the man. All right, Romans 4 and 7. Brother Larry, or Brother John, give me Romans 4 and 7 and read that for me, please. Is anybody here not saved tonight? Is anybody here need the blessing of salvation? I'm going to tell you, when Jesus came, when He was born, when He lived, when He died, and when He made the plan, when He said it is finished, then He went in the tomb and He was resurrected, praise God. He sealed everything. He set it in a place. That's the greatest, one of the greatest blessings mankind's ever had, praise God. Then He goes off and He resurrects it. He deals with His disciples and apostles and talks to them and worked with them and taught them things and so forth and talked with them and worked with them for a while. And then He said, I want you to tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power, because I'm going to ascend, I'm going to leave, I'm going to send the power down, the Holy Spirit. That's the second great blessing. Listen tonight. Have you got salvation? You need Him. You need Him right now. We don't need to wait till next week or next month. We don't even need to wait till next second, so to speak. You need Him right now. Now is the day of salvation. You need this blessing. He come to give you, and He has done the greatest work that's ever been done for mankind. So consequently tonight, that blessing needs to be conferred on everyone in here if you don't have it tonight. All right, what does He say there, Romans 4, 7, Brother John?
Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered.
Blessed is the man whose sins Says there are whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man. I'm going to tell you tonight, saints, you and I have got something to rejoice about. Our sins are under the blood, praise God. We've been forgiven. We have something that a lot of people don't have. And we have it because we reached out to God. We confessed. We forsook. We repented. We done what the Lord asked us to do. And consequently, He gave us the blessing of salvation, praise God. It's a glorious blessing tonight. Let's go to Luke, the 7th chapter, 36th verse. Luke 7 and 36. This is where the little lady come to Him, and I believe the Bible said that she was a sinner. Well, I want to go ahead and hold that. Don't jump. I want to go back to 65 and 4 in just a minute. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Listen tonight. You and I have been chosen. Now, people get chosen for different things, but this is the greatest choosing you can ever have. It goes beyond, deeper, broader than anything, praise God. The very God, the great I am, has said, come unto me. The great I am has said, I want you. The great I am has said, be my son. The great I am has said, I want to do something for you tonight. He is choosing you. He is allowing you now to be able to come into His presence. He's allowing you now to be able to repent. He's calling. No man cometh unto the Father except by me, Jesus said. I've got to call him. I've got to work with him. I've got to bless him. So He's choosing you. Listen, folks, when He chooses you, don't turn Him down. Don't walk away from Him. There has been multitudes of people that's done it through the years and been lost. There was a young man in Guthrie many years ago. Good meeting going on, a good camp meeting. And the Lord was blessing, the Lord was convicting. And the altar call come, and this man was so under conviction, he was standing trembling. And he stood there for a little bit. And he turned and he went out the back door. My brother went after him. He said, don't leave. He said, don't do it, please. He begged him and begged him. He said, come back. Come back. He knew what he was doing. He knew he was under conviction. He said, come back and let's go to the altar. Let's get you saved. And he rejected it. Within 2 weeks, he was dead. As far as we know, he never got the blessing of salvation. He drowned in a whirlpool in the river down there. And the news got out that he drowned. It was a great shock to us, especially of those of us that knew what he had done. He walked away. I know another case, South Carolina. There was a couple out there, tent meeting, and two or three of our ministers there. The Lord was blessing and working, and this couple was living together. They were shacking up as the old saying goes, and they were coming to the meeting, and the Lord was convicting them, and they were so under conviction again, they got up and walked out and went to their car. And little sister Beverly was there, and she followed them. She was very close to the woman. And she got in the back seat and she begged him, said, please don't walk away. Please, let's get this settled tonight. She pled with him. She begged him. And they turned it down. Time went on. The Lord sent me to South Carolina. I moved there in August of 1998. At the end of January of 1999, there was a prayer request put in, Jimmy, which was a son of a former pastor that had an excellent name and reputation in that area. He's in the hospital with an aneurysm of the brain. I went down there. I pled with him. I begged him. I done everything I could do, Jimmy. Let's get saved. Let's pray. Let's reach out to God. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't go through with this operation, Jimmy. I would get saved and put this all in God's hands. And he turned it down. 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 We had the first operation on the first day of February of 1999. We had a second operation. We had a third operation. We had a fourth operation. And what happened to Jimmy was this. Every operation kept changing him. The first aneurysm they took out, they said, was the size of a man's hand. A fist. I heard the surgeon say it. He came in there and talked to The Pratt family was a large family, and Brother O'Neill was such a well-respected, there was 12 siblings. And there was a number of them there. And the surgeon come in. He said it was quite a surgery. He said the aneurysm was this big. But they got it. But that started the downward road. He lost his home. He lost his wife. He lost his son. He lost his business. He lost everything. And he was in a nursing home when I left there. That has been one of the saddest things, because he wouldn't accept the blessing of salvation. Then it got down several years later, and he began to have more trouble. And they lurked, they searched, and they'd done tests and everything, and for quite a while. And they couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. But he kept staying sick. Finally, about 2 weeks before he died, his sister Lola told me, said, "Brother Carl, they discovered he had cancer, but it was too far gone." And about 2 weeks, he was out of there. But I was also told that he had finally gotten saved before he died. But that was way down the line. He had lost it all. Listen, the great I Am, folks, has got blessings, and on top of blessings, and on top of blessings. Listen, Jimmy and Joyce could have gotten saved that night and gotten delivered, and God could have blessed them beyond anything they asked or say. Aunt Bevy told and said, "Listen, just get saved. Let's go on and get married. Let's do it all right, Jim and Joyce. Let's not keep putting this thing off and keep doing the things you're doing." And they just kept it going, and it destroyed them totally. His boy, Rocky, come to me, within the last year or so, a little over a year. And he was so loving and kind and sweet, it melted my heart. But I thought, your dad, Rocky, could have had it all. Your dad, Rocky, could have had blessings that he had never even thought possible if he had just reached out to God. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. It is a great blessing to have God to look in our way and to smell in our assemblies and to work with us, folks, is the bottom line. And he chooses you and I to help us and to deal with us and to work with us. I don't care tonight if you're saved or you're unsaved. The very fact that he's looking, calling, inspiring, and working with you is a great blessing tonight. So, said, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts." Praise God that we may dwell in the courts of God. The great courts of God, not just any court, the everlasting court, so to speak. In other words, the courts that is here that God blesses for you and I to dwell in. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Listen, folks, tonight, people look at people, other saints, and people that are living for God, and they say, "I don't want to live like them old fogies." Well, I'm sorry they feel that way, because I'm sure enjoying the blessings of the court. I'm sure enjoying the blessings of the glory, praise God. If they don't like my long sleeves, if they don't like the way I dress and the things I do, that's all right if they want to play that way. But the bottom line is, praise God, I've got something they don't have, and I'm enjoying it the uttermost. Oh, tonight, the blessings. Oh, thank God for the blessings tonight. All right, let's get over here to the little woman. And I don't have time to read all of this. But he brings out the point here in the 7th chapter of Luke, 36th verse, I think it is. Now, if I get over here where it starts, it always reads right. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house, sat down to meat, and behold, a woman of the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she bought an alabaster box of ointment, stood at his feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him." Ooh, she's a sinner. And Jesus answering, said to him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." He said, "Master, say on." "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence, the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said to him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman. Listen, folks, he came for women like that. He came for men and women that's in all kind of the depths of the degradation of sin. He came for them, praise God. This Pharisee said, oh, if he'd known a prophet, he'd known what she was. He knew what she was. And he loved her, praise God. And he died for her. And he wanted to save her. That's what he wanted to do. And said here, he said, turn to that woman. I entered thy house and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, had not ceased to kiss my feet. My head withal, thou didst not anoint, but this woman had anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I send you her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said to her, thy sins are forgiven. And the 50th verse said, and he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. Listen, folks, she got down low. She wanted a blessing. She wanted something rich. She wanted something. She no doubt had heard about this man named Jesus. She had heard that he could do something for her. She was in the depths of sin. She needed somebody that had the power to help her. And she come to the right source. Listen, if you have needs of something, you're a lot of times told, well, go to this one or go to that or do this or do that. And you may follow that advice. That's what she was doing here. She was coming to the source, the everlasting source of power that was able to do for her what nobody else could do, praise God, to deliver her. She got down real low. Listen, folks, tonight we get to Jesus, we're going to have to get down where He's at. How's that song say? Where a stream finds a bed that is lowly, being humble, being little, being small, so to speak. Old Brother Herschel used to say, he said, I've seen people that needed something and they had come up riding like in a chariot to the altar. And he said they should have been crawling like a snake on their belly. They should get down low where Jesus is. Listen, folks, that if you want salvation, you may have it. Whosoever will may come. Come and me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He wants to save you. But listen, come and get down at the feet of Jesus and say, I want that blessing of salvation. I want to be saved. I want to be delivered. I want to be blessed. I want to be helped. Lord, I'm willing to forsake. I'm willing to repent. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get through. You can have that blessing of salvation tonight. Let's go to Acts, the first chapter. Acts, the first chapter, we'll start reading about the fourth verse. This, I was kind of quoting this a while ago. He says here, well, Carl, if you get in Acts, not in John, it'll read right. You mark it down, folks, it always reads right in the right spot. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the time nor the season which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto all the uttermost parts of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. All right, the second chapter, first verse of Acts. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, today, one of the greatest needs, one of the greatest blessings of anybody that is saved is the next step of sanctification and being filled with the Holy Ghost. This is not something to play with. This is not something young people have just kind of put off and, well, I want to wait a while. It's an absolute must. In the Bible declares it in Acts there. One of the first say, have you been, where have you been saved to and so forth? And then said the next thing, well, you got to be sanctified. They kept pointing right back to sanctification over and over because they saw the need. You shall receive power. Listen, folks, we need the power to live the life that God wants us to live. People say, how can you live above sin? By the power. It's no other way. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the power of God. It's the power of the working of the Spirit. And listen, everybody tonight, you must have the blessing of sanctification tonight. You've got to have it. It's not an if-and thing. It's an absolute must that you've got to get a hold of this, to get out, to consecrate, to dedicate, to give all to Jesus Christ tonight. Say, Lord, I want you to have it all. Yes. You need this power. You've got to have this power. You've got to have it now. But I want to wait a while. I don't want to just give everything to God right now. Why not? Why don't you want to? You need to. You must. If you're going to be able to do, if you're going to be able to, how's he say here? He said, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Listen, if we're going to be the witnesses, if we're going to do what God wants us to do, well, I don't want to be a preacher. I didn't say I had to. If you just want to testify, you're going to have this power. You want to exhort, or if you want to give out tracts or things. Somebody said, well, no, I can do that, can you? Are you? Are you really giving it out? Are you really doing what the Lord wants you to do? Well, that's up to you all preachers, is it? Every one of us is a minister in our own right. We've got our own world. We've got our own work. And the Lord wants to use every one of us. He doesn't have to have everybody be a preacher, but He wants every one of us to help souls. He wants every one of us to be a blessing to souls. He wants every one of us to reach out to souls. Have you got the Holy Spirit tonight? I don't know about the other brethren here, but when I was pastor, I hammered on this a lot. They just ever so often, I was working, maybe not these particular scriptures, but I kept telling them, you need to be sanctified. If you're not, you need to have it. You need to have it. Then the evangelist come through and he'd stir them up too. Oh, tonight we've got to have this, the blessing of salvation and the blessing of sanctification. It's an absolute tonight. Do you have it? Do you want it? Have you thought about it? Is there something that is pulling at your heartstrings saying, come on, I want to use you. I want to bless you. You need it to be a blessing in singing. There's specials and leaders. Listen, we need leaders in the church today. We need workers in the church like we've never needed before. Amen. Well, we're so short of preachers right now. We need all that we can get. And the Lord wants to give you the blessing. Oh, He sent this Holy Spirit down. And I'm going to tell you, He's been doing a perfect job ever since. He's been doing a perfect job helping people with the blessings. People would be out there and gotten saved and living for God and putting this off. They'd be flipping and flopping and so forth and get the Holy Ghost and just settle down and live the life. Just settle down and live it and just do what they needed to do. You've got to have this tonight. Got to have that power. All right, let's go to Matthew, the 9th chapter. Matthew 9. What do you need in blessings tonight? The Lord's given them out. He wants you to want them. He's got this place all reserved. He's got it all set. What do you want tonight? All right, in that chapter of Matthew, in about the 27th verse, when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." When he was coming to the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus saith unto him, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" Now this is scripture I was referring to early on. They said to him, "Yea, Lord." Then touching he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Now these people were blind. Back then, there wasn't a whole lot of help for blind people. Today they can do all kinds of things. They can take off cataracts and they can just do all kinds of things with your eyes. But these men come to the first great optometrist. The one that could do what nobody else could do. And I don't know what was wrong with their eyes, but they couldn't see. There's a lot of people out there tonight that's spiritually blind that needs to be able to see. There's people out there that physically blind and they want to see too. They want to see. Their desire is to see the world and the things that are out there. I worked with a blind man for about 3 years. He and I traveled. He was a minister much older than I was at that time. And we traveled and gospeled and worked together and went all the way from Florida to California to Canada. One time we were gone 60 days, I think, almost straight before we ever come home. We was in meetings all over on the East, in the East. Tonight, he says here, he said, "Believe ye that I'm able to do this?" He said there in the beginning scripture, he said, "Lord..." Let's see, how was that? He said, "Do they believe?" Let me get that. They believe the report. Let me see here. He says here, "But they have not obeyed the gospel, for lies saith, Lord, who have believed our report." Do you believe the report tonight? These men believe the report. I don't know what they knew about Jesus, but we know as a nation, basically we know much more about God say today than they did back then, because we got the Bible. And religion and messages and so forth preached all over this country. May not all be right and true, but it's a lot of preaching done. And so consequently, these men heard. Evidently. So he said, "You believe that I'm able to do this? Do you believe he's able to help you tonight?" Yes. Do you really believe it? Well, you just don't know what I face. Do you believe? The Lord can heal anything. There is not a sickness in the catalog of sicknesses that Jesus can't heal. He has done things, and he's done it sometimes so quickly, people have leaped out of their bed, they've come running out of the house. And I've known of cases where that, I've heard of cases, I didn't know them particularly, didn't know these people, they were dead before I got saved. But there is people out there that Jesus actually rose from the dead right in our times. Just rose, raised them up back to life. Minister in California, his name was Brother Chandler. He had a lot of power with God, a lot of wisdom. And I believe it was his sister died. And he felt like the Lord showed him, "I'm going to raise her from the dead." So he wouldn't let him remove the body. And they prayed for several hours. And people were beginning to wonder. What about, wasn't it Elijah out there? And he said, "Well, you do this and that." And they prayed for hours and hours, you know, and so forth, and they didn't get anything. Well, they were praying for hours here, and I dare say there was some skepticism started. I figure there's some people going, "He's missed it this time." But the Lord touched that body, and He raised her up. And they said when she came out of that room, people were fleeing out of every room of that house and every door of that house. They were leaving. She had been raised from the dead. She'd been dead all day about, best I understand it, for a number of hours. It wasn't like something that, well, she just died 1 minute and come back the next. No, she was good and cold. Oh, tonight, do you believe? Let's go to Mark the 5th chapter. What do you need tonight physically? What is it there? He's got something for you. The Lord can heal tonight. 5:25, I believe it is, in the good book of Mark. Certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, suffered many things and many physicians, that spent all that she had, but was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in her press behind him, touched his garment, said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing that in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Disciples said to him, "Thou seest a multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, knowing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and behold of thy plague." Again, this was something man couldn't do anything with. This was something that had to have the very power of God to heal this woman's body. There is things today, folks, that man can't do anything with. Somebody said, "Well, doctors can do all things. They can do a lot of things. God can do all things." I have never seen God send anybody to another specialist. I've never seen Him send somebody to another doctor. I had a doctor with my dad. He told us tonight that he died. He said, "Listen, I've done all I can do. It's up to the man upstairs." If I remember right, he pointed up. It's up to him now. Dad died in maybe 2 hours after that. I appreciate the doctor admitting, "I've done all I can do." They can do things, yes. But listen, Jesus Christ can do anything. If you need physical healing tonight and the blessing of healing, He can heal you. Anything you need tonight. In the catalog of sickness, He can do it for you. What do you need tonight? What blessing do you need tonight? The Lord wants to give you a blessing. He wants to heal you spiritually. He wants to sanctify you fully. He wants to heal your body. In any way tonight that you need, the Lord wants to give it to you. All right, let's go to Luke 11th chapter. Let's begin to wrap it up here. Luke 11:9. "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. To him it shall be opened." All right, in the 18th chapter of Luke, in the first verse, it talks about a little woman here. "He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was a city, a judge, feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me, mine adversary. He would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I'll avenge her. Lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect day and night, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Now, saints, I'm going to tell you, some of these blessings come by us prevailing in prayer. You're not always going to get everything at the first snap of your finger, so to speak. The first prayer that you pray. You're going to have to veil with God. You're going to have to pray and pray some more and pray some more. God don't want to spoil His children. He wants to make them rich in faith. He wants to make them powerful. He wants to build a foundation of faith that they will have something that will go with them all the rest of their life, right out into eternity. So consequently, you're going to have to avail. Genesis. Something here in Genesis, the 32nd chapter, talking about a person here wrestled with an angel one night. And I want to get this here, 32 and about the 24th verse, 32 and 24. "And Jacob was left alone. There wrestled a man with him at the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said to him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God, and with men hast thou prevailed. And Jacob answered him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. He said, wherefore is it that thou dost askest thy name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Listen, folks, tonight you and I are going to have to prevail. We're going to have to wrestle. You may have to wrestle for hours. I've done it. Wrestle and wrestle. I wanted that blessing. I wanted it, and I wanted it badly, and I wasn't going to quit till I got it. This man wanted a blessing. He said, I want you to bless me, and I'm not going to quit till you do it, praise God. Listen, you can do it. God prayed all night. The apostles, they prayed in the jail, and they got their blessing, praise God. Paul and Silas and Peter and different ones, the church, they was praying, they was wrestling, they were availing with the very power of God. We need you to help us. We need you to work for us. We need your help, Jesus Christ. You promised that you would help us. Asking you shall receive. Seeking you find. Knocking it shall be opened unto you. So consequently, you're going to have to pray. And sometimes pray and don't get discouraged. Jacob didn't get discouraged here. He is stuck. He called the place Peniel. He had seen God face to face. Listen, folks, sometimes we need to pray till we see Him face to face. And don't quit till you get there. You need that kind of blessing. You've got to have it. This is not, I'm not talking about the little prayers. I'm talking about the people, that prayer that avails, that gets to the place where they're not going to quit till they get it. One brother in Ohio one time, many years ago, I've heard this story told by a minister. He said that he wanted a blessing. I believe it was. He told his wife, said, I'm going to go to the basement. And I'm not coming out till he blesses me. And he went there and he started praying. And he kept praying. And he kept praying. And a little bit the Lord sent his power. After a while, I don't know how long. And he come up from there. And he come out from there and he was shouting and rejoicing, God has blessed me, God has blessed me. Listen, folks, tonight if you're a little dry, it's time for a blessing. Time to get out serious, praise God. This is a meeting for you. This is a meeting for all of us. This is a meeting that God wants to bless you. But you might have to avail in prayer. There have been people prayed for hours before they were saved. And God sent the power down and delivered them, praise God. You need to see God face to face. You need to have this kind of experience. You need to have it. I hadn't been married very long, 1983. Within the first 2 or 3 months, I guess, Becky was over working with her sister that was dying of cancer. She was over in the big house, so to speak. I was in the house there where we were staying, two different homes. And I was praying, and the Lord was blessing. His presence was so rich, I didn't want anybody to bother me. She come in. I, so to speak, now this is my new wife. I, so to speak, said, you just leave me alone. I want God. I want Him. I need this blessing. Listen, folks, you're going to have to cancel out everything sometimes to get this kind of blessing. You're going to have to shut off the cell phones. You're going to have to turn off everything else. And you're going to have to get in your closet. And you're going to have to avail there till you get it, praise God. But you can have it. I'll give you that kind of blessing, the Lord says. I want to bless you tonight. Oh, He wants to bless you. Are you really interested? Do you really want the blessing? You can have it. You can have it tonight. Oh, time's got away on me. Faster I preach sometime, the faster the clock flies, I do believe. All right, let's go to Proverbs 10 and 22. We'll wrap it up here. Proverbs 10 and 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And He added no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord. How rich do you want to be tonight? Now, is this just a blessing of money and wealth? Or is it a spiritual blessing in our life? I believe the main area is in the spiritual life. But then there's an angle of the temporal also. What kind of riches, spiritual riches, is this? Wisdom? Faith? Rich in knowledge and love? Philippians 1:9, Proverbs 14:24, James 2:5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who give to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He wants you. Listen, there is people today. There's a lot of people today that's rich in wealth. And look where our world's at. It is going downhill in the last 4, 5, 6 years like I've never seen it. And I've been around a while. It's going downhill at a rate that is astonishing people in a sense. If there was people out there that was rich in these kind of blessings, our world would probably be going that away instead of that away. We need this kind of blessing that maketh rich. We need the blessings of God where people are saying, I want this kind of blessing. Lord, I need this wisdom. I need this knowledge. I need this understanding. I want this. And they go after it. They spend hours searching, praying, fasting, whatever they need. They're looking and begging, Lord, please, I want this. And the Lord blesses. He enlightens. He opens up. He gives. And they're having things. And the more they get, the less of them they have. And the richer this United States is because of them living for God. This is what this country needs, is the blessings of the Lord. It maketh rich. How rich are you tonight? Oh, I want a lot of money. I did too. I wanted to be a multimillionaire. That was my dream, children. I wanted to be a multimillionaire. I was setting my sights on it till Jesus walked by. And he let me know this one night. He said, the night I got saved, matter of fact, he said, you can have all the riches and I can take them away in a moment of time. He knocked that prop out from under me, took it away. I got saved that night. I decided it's time. Fought this for several months. I was getting tired of the conviction. And I wanted Jesus. I wanted that blessing. Listen, he wants to make you rich in faith, wisdom, power, glory. He wants to bless you tonight. How rich are you tonight? Let's stand. Let's have a number. Appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers tonight. Pray for me.